שלום ליהודים, שלום לבני נוח, שלום לגויים. It's the evening of the second day, Dallas, באדר בייס, פרשס ויקה, תשע"ו. The evening of the first day, Sunday, 13 March 2016, webcasting from Judea, homeland of the Jewish people, whose name comes from here. Well, late last Thursday, Israel took the first step of what yours truly has wanted to see for years. The IDF raided a radio station in Ramallah, broadcasting anti-Semitic calls to murder Jews, and shut it down. Falestine Al-Yom was the name, meaning Palestine today, and it belonged to Islamic Jihad. I wish it had been the main PA radio, but at least this may have been an icebreaker in this direction. For sure, going at Abu Mazen's anti-Semitic PA radio would have been better, but as I predicted in the past, that would generate a howl heard around the world. I suspect the government foresees that too, and so may this be just a trial balloon. For sure, the International Federation of Journalists let out a howl. It's based in Brussels, home of the anti-Semitic EU bureaucracy and the anti-Semitic Belgian people, with their miserable record during World War II of collaborating with the Nazis and rounding up Jews for slaughter. The IFJ condemned the closure, calling it, quote, a brutal attack against the free press in the occupied territories, close quote. I hope we all realize that 70 years and counting now after World War II, anti-Semitism is once again kosher. Maybe you saw that unrelated news story about that high school basketball game in Newton, Mass, between a Catholic school and the public school, which is heavily Jewish. And it was a scene of Catholic fans chanting, "You killed Jesus, you killed Jesus," at the opposition. This is unheard of. Since the Holocaust and since Vatican II in 1965. Well, that's how yours truly relates to this condemnation from Brussels of Israel for shutting down a radio station calling for the murder of Jews by a proven terror cult called Islamic Holy War. Unbelievable. The IFJ called Israel's carting off the equipment, I guess, plus the arrest of the Islamist terrorist in charge who had done time in Israeli prisons for terror, called it brutal. And one can only imagine how many of the journalists here who are members of this organization have described the attacks here over the last 6 months as brutal. You know, pregnant Jewish mothers being stabbed to death. That would be an interesting research project. Reading the stories filed over the last half year by members of the IFJ and searching them for the word brutal. Last week it was a pregnant American Gentile wife and mother stabbed by that homicidal Muslim maniac who murdered her husband, Taylor Force of blessed memory, West Point graduate. One would like to find out how many stories called it brutal. Versus Israel and its brutal raid, shutting down a radio station, broadcasting calls to murder Jews in a class with Nazi radio broadcasts in the last century. That's what I mean. World War II and the Holocaust is now ancient history that has lost all power to suppress anti-Jew outbursts in the West. The Holocaust, of course, never had any effect on the Arabs and Muslims when it comes to banking the fires of their Jew hatred. On the contrary, we know it is normal for Arab and Muslim peoples to deny the Holocaust even happened, said the head of the International Federation of Journalists, which claims to be the largest of its kind, one Jim Boumelha, said on Saturday night, "We cannot tolerate these continuous attacks from Israeli authorities to muzzle the Palestinian press. Incitement of terror is a dangerous accusation to make against media, and a decision to close it cannot occur without due process," close quote. So if I understand this guy, Boumelha, he's upset that due process has been violated by Israel. That's what's bothering him? Not the bloodthirsty calls to murder Jews. These soulmates of the demons in Paris last November 13, who slaughtered 130 people, have for months, called for the murder of Jews, and Boumelha is angry at Israel for violating due process. Though it's not clear what he has in mind, it seems to me it was due process that between Thursday and Friday night, armed Jews shut down this operation calling for the murder of Jews. What is his problem? He referred to the occupied territories, but of course any Jew who uses that term, or anyone who uses that term, is an anti-Jew. Anyone who does not recognize Israel's right to rule in these territories is an anti-Jew. So what due process could he have had in mind? And in the Alice in Wonderland world that we live in, Islamic Jihad spokesman, one Jamil Mazhar in Gaza, called the closure, you ready for this, quote, a blatant violation of law. This leaves yours truly momentarily speechless. This is like Al Capone complaining about his prosecution for tax evasion as a blatant violation of law, as if Al Capone cared about law. This is Islamic Jihad, whose very name tells you it recognizes no law but Sharia. And for sure, that law does not recognize freedom of the press. Or maybe it is Sharia law the spokesman had in mind, according to which Jews do not have the right to defend themselves when attacked by believers in the one true faith. Yair Lapid, head of the Yesh Atid party, that name means there is a future party, called on the IGF to apologize for its condemnation of Israel's closure of this radio station. Lapid questioned the motives for the condemnation when Islamic Jihad is so open about incitement to murder. He said, quote, freedom of the press does not extend to terrorist propaganda and those who incite to murder. The content on Palestine Today would not pass the editorial guidelines of any of your members. I was a journalist for over 3 decades. This is not journalism. This isn't free speech. This is hate speech. You're not defending press freedom. You are defending incitement to murder. Lapid also told Bumela to apologize to the families whose loved ones have been slain by this Islamic cult. Lewis Carroll's Wonderland was no stranger than the land of Israel when it comes to competitors of the Mad Hatter and the Queen of Hearts. To repeat, I wish it had been the PA radio that was shut down, and I'd hope it comes to that. That radio was the one that Uncle Shimon, as mad as the Mad Hatter, gave to the PLO 23 years ago. That immediately started broadcasting anti-Jew poison. And in a related story, Prime Minister Netanyahu thanked President of France François Hollande for shutting down the satellite TV broadcast of Hamas, that's called Al-Aqsa TV, that was using a French satellite company. Not that Hamas lost any time, moving over to Nilesat, that's an Egyptian service, to continue broadcasting its anti-Jew bile. More evidence of the surreal world we live in. Hamas, the local Muslim Brotherhood franchise, is collaborating with ISIS in its murder attacks on Egyptians in the Sinai and elsewhere in the country. I guess Egypt is not bothered by Al-Aqsa TV so long as it does not broadcast anti-Egyptian incitement and confines itself just to attacking Al-Yahud, the Jews. To repeat, I guess it is part of the period in history we're entering, when the memory of the Holocaust and the power of this memory has faded. In the States, we have Oberlin and Vassar of all places. Professors spewing Jew hatred in the classroom, and it is defended as free speech, academic freedom. Jew hatred is back in fashion. And in all intellectual candor, the world is just, I guess, returning to normal. Following the Holocaust, there was this hiatus in shameless, naked, hideous public Jew hatred. But now, toward the end of almost 2 generations, it's kosher again. Was from the book of Genesis, chapter 24, verse 60. Spewing antidew venom in public is no longer gauche for two generations and counting. It had been, at least in the West, unacceptable, though always acceptable at the UN for decades. But that has been the property of the Third World and other dictatorships for all this time. We just saw the latest UN human rights rapporteur, that Indonesian, leave his post after 3 years because Israel would never let this Muslim anti-Semite travel freely in Judea and Samaria because he saw his job as not reporting on human rights, as the title suggests, human rights violations in these areas, whatever their source. No, he was there to report only on the alleged violations of human rights perpetrated by the Zionists. Human rights violations committed by fellow Muslims against their own people, the PA against their own people, and against Jews, were not part of his mandate. And now his replacement will be evidently an academic from London, as demented in her delusional hatred of Jews as those crackpot women at Oberlin and Vassar. This is Professor Penny Green of Queen Mary University in London, a professor of law, who has in the past twitted against Israel's, quote, criminal state practices and its, quote, ethnic cleansing and its, quote, apartheid. She even has lamented, according to the Times of Israel site today, that the U.S. and U.K. have not yet started bombing Israel for its massacres, as the two countries have bombed Islamic State, ISIS. She compares the two. Israel's massacres. I guess what she has in mind was the destruction shown repeatedly on Western television, like the Beeb. The destruction and death that Israel rained down on Gaza in 2014 as the Muslims rained down rockets on Israel. Surely this professor of law knows that the Geneva Conventions forbid launching attacks against an enemy from within one's own civilian population, that is, hiding behind them, and then when the targeted people fire back and some of these civilians become casualties, the reprisal is not considered a war crime. The war crime is hiding behind one's own people, one's own children, whose deaths are on their heads. This is Professor Penny Green, evidently heads up an NGO called the International State Crime Initiative that, quote, opposes Western counterterrorism and anti-extremism as manifestations of Islamophobia, close quote. Can't get over it. We are living in surreal times. Muslims in her England are reported, even today, to be grooming, as they call it, non-Muslims, to be sex partners of believers, as they did at Rotherham for some time. Only now it's happening in Oxford. The Muslims in her country have committed atrocities, such as the July 2007 bombing of four trains at the King's Cross St. Pancras tube station in London, and that bus at Tavistock Square, and the beheading at Woolwich Arsenal of a British soldier, drummer Lee Rigby. The Muslims, as in Paris, commandeered whole streets for their prayers, and this Dr. Green thinks those who recoil in horror from Islam are suffering from an irrational fear, which is the definition of a phobia, Islamophobia. The Times of Israel reported that the committee of the UN Human Rights Council that has nominated Green, also as a second choice, has named another law professor, this one from Canada, a Michael Link, who works with Arab lobbying groups, including one that promotes Israel Apartheid Week events and accuses Israel of war crimes for which it must be prosecuted. Was the world this flaky in generations past? I guess it was, if we call to mind England in the 1930s, that did not lack for pro-Nazis like Oswald Mosley, and even the king himself, with their delusions of Jewish perfidy. Those two, I guess, were days of insanity. And it's not as if only anti-Jew goyim are the nut jobs. Anti-Jew cogitation affects anti-Jew Jews, no less. Last Thursday in Petah Tikva, right, in a small grocery, an Arab with a knife attacked a Jew who got the better of him, even after being stabbed numerous times in the chest and back and the neck. I misreported to you on that hectic day that the Jew managed to wrest the knife from the attacker. Not quite. He yanked it out of his own neck and stabbed the homicidal Arab to death. Turns out the Jew, Yonatan Azarihab, has been a champion amateur boxer here, besides being, like Yosef Karduner, a Breslover chassid. And the owner of that store happens to be, coincidentally, a friend of a friend. They all hail from the Caucasus. Tough people, mountain people. Anyway, speaking of Jewish nut jobs, the head of peace now in Israel, Yariv Oppenheimer, I think he's a renegade from the National Religious Camp, condemned Yonatan for killing his attacker. He called it an execution. And the killing as well by an Israeli passerby of the mad dog who killed Taylor Force, stabbed his wife and like a dozen others, including inadvertently in his rampage two fellow Palestinians. Oppenheimer complained that Israelis have gone from neutralizing terrorists to executing them without trial, and he accused the media of ignoring the issue. And the police are also, it was reported, investigating the death of that lunatic in Jaffa who killed Force, because in some video which shows him down on the ground, shots are fired afterwards, after he has fallen, which some conclude is evidence that after he was neutralized and dropped, someone finished him off. Horrors. The video is reported also to have an audio track in which someone shouts over the fallen terrorist, shoot him again in the head, or words to that effect. Versus the Sephardi chief Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef, who got it right when he said it is obligatory to kill the attacker, by implication, not to give him a trial. Give me a break. Oppenheimer's call for a trial was not the first by an Israeli idiot who does not understand that a trial is warranted when there is doubt. In these cases, there is no doubt. This compulsion of leftists to attack their own, some kind of spiritual autoimmune disease in which one's own people are the bad guys and their murderers the victims of their own people. The common expression, self-hating Jew, is one I have never been happy with. In general, the syndrome goes beyond the particularity of Jews. It's the same phenomenon among leftists in other cultures. For example, last time I saw Bill Ayers, you know, Barack Obama's friend, the radical terrorist bomber, the leftist, friend of this Muslim saboteur in the Oval Office, he was being interviewed by Fox's Megyn Kelly, and he was open about his view that the United States is the most destructive and or dangerous country in the world. I forget which word he used, but his hatred for his country was blatant. With Jews, though, it really is a chronic condition. In every generation, we have anti-Jew Jews, like Bernie Sanders. Last week, the excellent Sultan Kanish, a.k.a. Daniel Greenfield, reported on his record on Israel, and it has been horrible for decades. For example, in 1973, when President Nixon saved Israel with emergency deliveries of arms and ammunition during the Yom Kippur War, Bernie was against that. He has been a pro-Palestinian as long as any on the left. In other words, a longtime Israel basher. Last week as well, when Vice President Biden was here, Oppenheimer's Peace Now tried to sabotage the visit. NGO Monitor reported this by distributing the pictures of the building in Ramat Shlomo that was announced in 2010 when Biden was here, which triggered that brouhaha that ended with Lady Macbeth Clinton shouting into Bibi's ear for 45 minutes, accusing him of insulting the U.S. and His Majesty, President Obama, in reaction to Peace Now's attempt to wreck this visit by Biden by bringing up Ramat Shlomo, a Jewish neighborhood built on empty land formerly in the demilitarized zone between Israel and Jordan. Deputy Minister for Regional Cooperation, the Druze member of Likud, Ayub Kara, said it best, quote, "The time has come for Peace Now to stop cooperating with the haters of Israel, which has the right and obligation to build on this territory," close quote. Bless you, Ayub Kara. It is rare, almost non-existent, to hear an official, and it has to be a Druze in this case, of the official Israeli government use the word right to describe Israel's rule over land won in legitimate self-defense in 1967. That also happens to be territory the League of Nations mandated for the Jewish homeland. Oppenheimer replied to Kara by saying that it's Israel's actions that harm relations with the U.S., not his organization for revealing them. They're trying to kill the messenger, he said, rather than deal with the criticism of their actions. They think everyone is to blame except the occupation, close quote. And I say anyone who calls Israel's presence in Judea and Samaria an occupation is an anti-Jew, Jew and Gentile alike. You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. In the good news department today, the Ministerial Committee on Legislation in the Knesset approved a bill proposed by Haredi MK Moshe Gafni, intended to override the High Court's stupid decision to allow the use of mikvahs for the pseudo-conversion farce of the reform enemies of classical Jewishness. The bill states that the mikvahs operate under the rules of the chief rabbinate of Israel, and its guidelines are the official ones. On the downside of the constant attempt by so-called Reform Judaism, specifically the Women of the Wall, to attack classical Judaism, on Friday, Rosh Chodesh, they again offended the classical practice by bringing a Torah scroll into the women's section at the Western Wall, and even said they will not abide by the deal worked out in January. This prompted Rabbi Shmuel Rabinovich, who administers the wall, to point out their breach of the agreement. They in turn retorted that the agreement has yet to be formalized, finally, and until it is, they will continue their aggression, without using that word, of course. So on Friday, as these feminists went about their imitation male behavior, the authentic women of the wall, who are there all the time, yelled and screamed at them. But of course, these are women whose consciousness has been raised to see the patriarchal oppression of Jewish male chauvinists who deny them equality. One thing they've done, a positive for me at least, is they remind me of Hillary Clinton, who I finally figured out incarnates the word strident and what that means. It is her imitation of being a tough man, not a tough woman, that is so irritating when that is so unnecessary. Versus, say, the very bright, articulate, and feminine Carly Fiorina, who expressed principled stands without that annoying affect. Margaret Thatcher as well, the Iron Lady, could be iron in her views while still being a lady and without being annoying. Well, I long for the day when an Israeli leader calmly, gently, but firmly explains that Reform Judaism is responsible for the loss of more Jews via intermarriage than were lost in the Holocaust, and that is why the government of Israel cannot recognize it as a legitimate form of Judaism. Arguably, contrary to Reform feminist propaganda, the most pluralistic of religions. Orthodox Jews can be Ashkenazic, Yeshivish, Litvish, Sephardic, Yemenite, Italian Rite, Hasidish, with all its different Rebbes, the Ger Rebbe and the Munkach and the Karliner and the Chabad and the Belzer, and I could go on. But all, despite their different styles and emphases, keep the Sabbath, keep kosher, maintain separate sections in synagogues for prayer for men and women. Western, and in particular American Jewry, is disappearing at the speed of light, and beyond the issues of different doctrines and practices and beliefs, the cold facts are irrefutable. The non-Orthodox and their alleged versions of Judaism are inauthentic because they're not keeping the Jewish people alive. It's not bigotry to reject them. It's common sense.
ואסתיך לי לעולם בצדק ובמשפט וחסד וברחמים, ואסתיך לי לעולם בצדק ובמשפט וחסד וברחמים, ואסתיך לי באמונה, ואסתיך לי באמונה, וידע את השם, את השם, ואסתיך לי באמונה, ואסתיך לי באמונה, וידעת את השם, את השם. בשבת בחסד וברחמים ואסתיך לי לעולם בצדק ומשפט בחסד וברחמים ואסתיך לי באמונה ואסתיך לי באמונה וידעת אל השם את השם ואסתיך לי באמונה ואסתיך לי באמונה ודעת
And that was from the prophet Hosea, chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, that we say when we lay tefillin in the morning. Okay, that's it for this first night of the week, this Sunday night, and I'll be back, God willing, on Tuesday. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'eretz Yisrael.